I want to talk a little bit about some of the field practicalities and applications and considerations of mobile data collection in the developing world. And some of the things that I'll be talking about are repeats, because there are some themes that keep coming up throughout several of these presentations. To start with, just a quick background, and as Heather mentioned, she categorized three different types of uses. Our focus has primarily been in the data collection surveillance area, and so what I'm going to be talking about is a lot of the ways that we've been doing data collection and surveillance. So we've done national surveys, we've done field studies, we've provided technical assistance to other partners who are doing similar types of activities, generally in the area of data collection and evaluations of programs. And I think a few people have talked about what types of different appropriate solutions there might be, and a lot of people really get into the latest and greatest technologies, but are those always the most appropriate solutions for what it is that we're actually trying to do? So what makes an appropriate solution? The first thing is, does it meet the needs of the project? I mean, a lot of people get sold a really good bill of goods of really cool stuff that you're never going to use. And so you can over-engineer something, which adds a lot of complexity and may not actually allow you to achieve what you actually need to achieve. You want something that's going to be able to be implemented by the people that you have available to do the implementing. And, you know, when I generally go in, I'm Atlanta-based. When I go into a country, I'm not generally staying there a long time. Sometimes some of these evaluations may be going on longer than I'm going to be there. Sometimes it's a quick cross-sectional thing. Sometimes it'll stay going for a long time. We need something that's going to have the capacity to be continued to be run by the people that are on the ground doing it. We want something that's going to add value. Is it going to add quality to the data that we're collecting? Is it going to improve the timeliness of data being available? Is it going to reduce the cost overall? And as somebody, I think Ray had mentioned before about the cost, sometimes when we're talking about mHealth, people think in terms of the upfront costs. And I guess sometimes people write proposals as well, and every time they write a new proposal, they put in for purchasing new equipment. We've used the same equipment for several years, and the cost goes down considerably every time you're reusing it. So if you're using the same thing in certain countries over and over and over again, those costs just continue to get defrayed. So something to consider. And as I mentioned, the most sophisticated and expensive solution may not be the most appropriate or best suited solution. So what are some of the things that need to be considered when you're choosing a technology, choosing the technology itself? Who are the users? What type of an interface or design do you need to think through? And what type of a development environment do you need to work within? Our process, and thanks to Gerard for helping put this slide together, our process was to consider several different things to come up with what is actually going to meet our needs. So we needed to consider things like cost, how easy is it going to be to use, and ease of use has a couple of different considerations. Ease of use for the people who are putting it together to roll out to the field, and ease of use for the end user who's going to be in the field having to make use of these things. Durability. As you may have seen on the first slide, most of our work is in rural Africa. We need something that's going to take the abuse, the dust, the rain, the drops, the bouncing over really lousy roads. You know, that's just reality. Data security and access. If I have a device that gets broken, can I still access my data somehow? Is it being stored somewhere off on, you know, are we relying on connectivity? In which case we have a whole different set of considerations, or are we relying on a device that's holding on to that information here, and how are we securing it, and if something happens, can I extract the data? Can I store it securely? Portability. We need people who are going to be moving around with these things. We want something that's going to be small enough to be portable and durable enough, and, well, going into the last part, having a battery life that's long enough that it's going to last for the time period that you need to use. And considering charging options as well was a number of countries and places, or even in emergency response or disaster response, even in this country when we have no electricity. I think of following Hurricane Katrina, when there was no electricity in a lot of areas and people were down there needing to plan for how they were going to operate. For our group, the best solution was using PDAs. And I've put touchscreen smartphones in the same category here. It could easily be tablets, as tablets are evolving as well now, as too. They didn't exist when we were starting with this. But some of the things, and these aren't exclusive necessarily to PDAs, but they're good for household and summary surveys and summary data. You can control the data collection with as many data checks as you want to put in there, and you can have them or you don't have to have them. But as we were talking, or we heard people talking about some of the limitations with other systems, an SMS system, for example, you might not be able to do that to quite the same level. And so again, it depends on what your needs are. So you can pre-program in complex skip patterns, which truly simplifies training. If you just tell people, if you see the question, you ask the question, as opposed to trying to explain, well, if we ask this, then we're going to skip these two questions. We'll ask that one, but only if this one there is that. And it becomes really complicated. We don't wind up with any pregnant men in our groups, in our cohorts here either. Depending on the technology you're using, you have the option of transmitting data in live time. I have mixed feelings about that. A lot of people are really interested in that, but it's, in some cases, not necessary. Because, you know, when we're doing cross-sectional data collection, we can't analyze it until we're done collecting it anyhow. So adding in the expense and the complexity of transmitting it in live time, why? I mean, there could be, you could make a case, but we don't have additional data entry later, and it allows for an active interaction with the respondent. So you can actually sit there and continue talking with the person that you're interviewing, and it's not interrupting the way that I'm afraid that some technologies can. If I'm sitting there with a laptop and I have to look down and I'm typing and doing whatever, that's not going to be a great interface. Something that's nice and touchscreen, you can flow through pretty easily. This type of technology, at least the PDA small screens, really not good for a lot of open-ended questions. As somebody else mentioned earlier, we have limited screen size, and more real estate on a tablet would be a nice thing. There's more upfront time for preparation than you would usually use for paper, and people need to budget that time in. And it requires someone with some knowledge of whatever program it is that you're using to actually put it together. So who are the end users? Typically, we hire people locally, and they tend to have limited experience with technology. They may or may not have computer experience. Of course, a few years ago, nobody did, but now a lot of people do. They've probably never used a smartphone or a PDA, and they may not have much formal education. And again, this depends on who it is that you're hiring and where you're working. And almost everybody now, though, has had experience with a cell phone. They may have survey experience from doing paper-based surveys, because a lot of times people use the same enumerators over and over again. And almost everybody has been really interested in learning about a new technology, so the enumerators actually get excited about learning how to use this and go out and collect their data. What are some of the interface design considerations? Trying to make sure that we have clear, uncluttered, and easy-to-read screens with natural groupings, text size that's readable, white space, and depending on the location, sometimes multi-language support is useful as well. Ease of data entry with radio buttons, drop-down menus, limiting the amount of text entry, and having calendar and numeric entries that actually pop up, something that helps enter the data. Having flow control, being able to control the questions and hide and show the questions that you want to see or you don't want to see, being able to filter lists if somebody's drilling down on a list of drop-downs. So, for example, if I choose a district, I only see the health facilities maybe within that district. So it helps for keeping my data a bit cleaner. Not just my data, anybody's data. You can provide feedback for data collectors. So a quick example of that, we see some of the filter drop-down lists from Sierra Leone. Here we can check for impossible answers. We can check for outliers, which I think is really useful. If somebody puts something in outside an expected range but could be, being able to just confirm, did you mean to put in that number or not? Being able to support rosters and provide feedback to people for listings. And for household surveys, being able to list the people in the household is really an important function. And putting natural groupings of related questions together on the same screen. I'm running out of time, so quickly, development environment considerations. Can it support a relational database? Can you have multi-conditional skips? You know, a list of different things here to consider of functionality that you want to bring to bear on whatever it is that you're putting together. There are a whole bunch of different mobile data collection software options. And generally, more than one will do the job for you. But you need to find one that's going to be able to do the job for you. So, for example, if you need rosters, you need something that's going to be able to manage rosters. Or if you need a relational database, you want to make sure that you get something that has the can handle the complexity. And so it's really, even regardless of which platform you choose, you can actually have a lot of options that will allow you to do that. But just what I would encourage people to do is just make sure you're thinking through what's actually needed and then look at the capabilities instead of finding that, well, we want to use this program because somebody told us it's really good and it may or may not meet your needs. There, again, whatever platform you're using, you may have multiple options that you can use with it. So, thank you very much.